Well, good morning and happy Sunday. I'm honored, so honored that you joined me today. Before I dive into the message, though, I want to share something I told someone who no longer attends our church. And just bear with me a second, because it's something that I want you to know today, if you're listening to this, that my love and care for you has nothing to do with church attendance. And, you know, if you're listening to this message, again, I just want you to know that I love and care about you and that I'm praying for you and I'm grateful for you. So, if you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to follow along. We are starting out this new year with a series called The Right Start 2024. You know, this is about getting the right things right, because the reality is you can't get everything right. So maybe this, you know, hopefully this takes a little pressure off you as you look toward 2024. You know, most of us can't decorate our houses like Chip and Joanna Gaines, or we can't make recipes every night like the people on the Food Network, or keep our lawns the way the guy in the Scott's Turf Builder commercial does. You can't do all that, plus have a great career, volunteer at your local school, serve at your church. There's just not enough hours in the day. You can't get everything right, which means you've got to choose, or I think a better way to say it in a more positive way is you get to choose. We get to choose. We have the privilege to choose which things we say yes to and which things we say no to. And that's really what this series is about. It's about making the choice to get the right things right so we can become better followers or disciples of Jesus Christ. So from the teachings of Scripture, I believe there are four things that are the right things for all of us to get right. These are your spiritual life, your relational life, your physical life, and your financial life. Now, no one is going to be perfect in any of these areas, but if you choose to give attention to those four things, you'll be living a wise life. You'll be honoring God, and you'll be honoring your design as a created being of God. So 4 weeks ago, we looked at our spiritual life, or spending time with God, and then 3 weeks ago, we looked at our relational life, sharing our life with others. And today, we come to our physical life, taking care of our bodies. So a report by an organization called the Global Wellness Institute analyzed how much money is spent by various countries on exercise-related expenses. I'd ask you to guess which country topped the list, but I think it's a pretty easy answer, and the answer is the U.S. There's not even a close second to the U.S., as we spent over $246 billion. Not million, but billion dollars in 2022 alone. We purchased things like fitness memberships, athletic footwear, workout clothing, exercise technology, and related gadgets. Again, no other country even came close to the U.S. But here's the troubling part. When it comes to doing physical activity, the U.S. ranks 143rd in the world. So we like to talk about exercise, and we like buying exercise gadgets, and we like dressing for it, right? But we just don't do it that well. I'm not sure what to do with all that, but the question that we're really asking today is, okay, but what does following Jesus Christ have to do with that? Well, if you're a serious follower of Christ, does that mean that you should eat healthier and exercise more than everybody else because of your faith? Or does it mean that because of your faith, you're not dragged down by those mundane worldly things, right? And that you should seek higher things and not worry about all that physical stuff? How should our faith affect the way we treat our bodies? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our main scripture reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I invite you to hear God's word. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Word of God, amen. So glorify or honor God with your body. So as I've studied what the Bible teaches on this topic, you know, and there's many passages on this topic, I think we can summarize the Bible's teaching like this. And this is the big idea, if you will, for the message today. And here it is. Take care of your body, but don't worship it. That's it. Take care of your body, but don't worship it. I'll break down this into two ideas today. There are two halves to that statement, so and we're going to take them in reverse order. First, don't worship your body. And I know some people are thinking, what? Worship my body? Who would do that? But the reality is we're living in a culture that makes a big deal out of physical appearance. Does anybody disagree with that? It's always been a big deal for humanity. I think that the media in general, and especially social media, have just elevated, they've amplified that natural human tendency. Now, most of you have probably heard the reports where Facebook, who owns Instagram, has acknowledged from their own internal research that their product is bad for the body image of young girls especially. They've said that. But it's not just young girls constantly comparing. We are constantly bombarded all the time with images of these ideal body types. And so after you've seen enough of that, it's easy to conclude that it's important. I guess that since everyone seems to be posting about it and talking about it and focused on it, the temptation is to become really fixated on your physical appearance. And the Bible gives us some strong reasons to fight that tendency to not go there. And here are the three reasons from Scripture not to worship your body. First, our bodies are decaying. You know, so I forgot to mention that this message was going to be really cheerful. It's going to cheer everybody up today, right? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The body that I feed and that I clothe, that I walk around in, you know, it reached its peak when I was around 18. I remember that. I was at the top of my athletic strength. I had a 34-inch waist. I lifted weights every day. I hated running, but I could run laps with a full football uniform on. You know, it was a great time. But since then, it's been pretty much downhill. You know, when I try to deny that reality that Scripture asserts here, it's usually, you know, it usually leads me to a lot of physical therapy and multiple chiropractic visits. You know, some of you are actively denying that right now. Right now, as you're sitting here or listening, you're going, that's not me. No, that doesn't apply. You know, I gave up running long ago, but imagine something else that you love doing, some kind of fitness activity. For me, it was lifting heavy weights. You know, it's hard to lose anything. It was hard for me to let go of that thing in my life. And I know this looks different for some, for others. It's everyone's got different body types and we're all at different ages, you know, and some are still on the good side of 18 and you haven't reached your peak. We can't escape the reality that outwardly we're wasting away. And if you do deny that, if you stubbornly hang on to your 18-year-old self, like I tried to do, you miss the promise on the other half of this verse. The promise is, even though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly God is doing things in us that are incredibly valuable. They're eternal. He's making you more mature, more patient, more compassionate to those other people whose bodies are also wasting away. And he's making you the person he wants to make you. Your beautiful inward renewal, which won't happen if you're stubbornly focusing on the outside. You'll miss that and become an emotionally and spiritually stunted person. If you remain so focused on the outside, that good inner stuff doesn't happen. So the first reason that you shouldn't worship your body is that it's in the process of wasting away. The second reason you shouldn't fixate on your outward body is because beauty is deceptive. Beauty is deceptive. The book of Proverbs is all about wisely navigating life, and it talks in numerous places about this. And let's look at one in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31 is all about the virtuous woman. And one of the things that makes her a person of such character is she's focused on things that last. And the point here is that outward beauty and charm do not last. They're fleeting, temporary, which is deceiving for us. Well, maybe you've had this experience. You know, you were looking for someone to be with and you saw this beautiful person. You think, if I could be with that person, I would never need anything else than this beauty to be with me, right? But you realize that beauty is not the same as the years go by. And that becomes less of an emphasis as time goes on. It wears off. Now, I'm going to be blunt. Some men and women look great on the outside, but once you get to know them, there's not much inward character there. Looks can be deceiving. As you get to know someone, outward beauty means less and inner character means more. So here's the point. If you obsess over your physical body, if you spend all your free time at the gym, at the salon, if you're just working on your looks, you're being deceived, you're being tricked. That's the second reason, not to be laser focused on your outward appearance. So don't worship your body, right? And some of you are thinking, I would think, you're probably thinking, I thought this sermon was about how you should take care of your body. Well, we'll get there, I promise. We have to lay this foundation first. So here's the third reason not to worship your body. God looks at the heart. Let's look at a story from the history of Israel. God was about to anoint this next king of Israel. Saul was the king, but he wasn't doing so well, so God was going to anoint a new king. So he goes to Samuel the prophet, and he says, I'm about to anoint a new king, and I want you to go to the home of a man named Jesse, because one of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king of Israel. So Samuel goes to the home of Jesse, and of course, Jesse does what anybody in that culture would do. He brings out his firstborn, Eliab. Eliab is a physical specimen. He's tall, he's muscular, he's handsome. And Samuel looks at Eliab and surely thinks that the Lord's anointed is right here in front of me. If anyone's king material, it's this guy, right? And the response that God gives Samuel, and if you haven't memorized this verse yet, you should. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And it goes, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, when God sizes up a person, he doesn't do it in the way that we normally do. We tend to think that we can judge a person by looking at them. God knows well that very often what's on the outside is not a good indicator of what's on the inside of a person. So God looks at the person's heart, because that's where the true value is seen. Which means if we want to be godly people, true disciples of Christ, if we want to look at life the way God does, we'll start looking at others and looking at ourselves through godly lenses. And this is easier said than done, right? Because we live in a culture, again, that trains us to look at the outside. We talked earlier about the body image of young girls and how social media affects that. And it's not just young girls, it's any age, and it's both genders. You know, maybe you've had this experience. You look at yourself in a picture and you go, man, I don't look like that, do I? And you walk away from that picture not only dissatisfied with your body, but maybe even disgusted with yourself as a person. I'm here to tell you that that is a lie of the enemy. And God wants to free us from that lie. Not equating our worth with how we look on the outside, what our outer image is. What a glorious freedom when you're not bound by that, when you recognize that what matters is a person's internal character. Again, it's hard to make that switch because the culture is so fixated on the outer. But God is strong enough to move us to make that switch. So for all those reasons, because our body is decaying, because beauty is deceptive, and because God looks at the heart, don't fall into the trap of being too into your health, your appearance, your body. I promise you'll regret it at some point near the end of your life. So if all that's true, it could be easy to conclude that, you know, our bodies, our physical, it just doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want with your body, right? And in the first century, that was a popular philosophical position called dualism. Dualism was a philosophy that said life exists in two realms. There's the higher spiritual realm, and that's what God cares about. And then there's that lower physical realm, you know, the flesh and blood, and God doesn't care about that. Or the little g gods, if it was a pagan person espousing this philosophy. You can do whatever you want with your body. Why would the gods care about that? So, you know, be a glutton, participate in sexual immorality or whatever you want, because God doesn't care about the physical body. He cares about the spiritual. Then came along Christianity in the first century that said, hold on, wait a second here. God has created us as integrated beings, physical and spiritual, and he cares about all of it. It was a revolutionary thought in the ancient world. And that leads us to the second part of our big idea, which is take care of your body, take care of it. And there are better reasons than maybe you've even thought of to do that. So let me give you three reasons why you should take care of your body. And the first reason is this, because God cares. God really cares about your body. This was the opening scripture reading today and our main passage, but it's so important. I think we ought to read it again. Let's just review that one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your own body. You're not your own. I am not my own. We were bought at a price. You know, this was a metaphor that comes from the world of slavery. If you were alive in the first century and you saw a slave suffering under a cruel master and you wanted to get that slave free, you could do it, but you had to pay the price for it. So if you paid off the slave master, then that slave would be free to go and would no longer be under that bondage. So the Bible says that, spiritually speaking, all of us came into this world under the mastery of sin. We were enslaved by sin. But Jesus paid the price when he went to the cross to free us from the mastery of sin. And that is the great news of the gospel, isn't it? That the main thing that keeps us down in life, our sin, Jesus has done something about that at the cross, and all we have to do is receive that. So when Paul says you were bought at a price, that means that Jesus paid for our freedom with his own blood, and therefore, verse 19, you're not your own. Again, this body that I feed, I dress, and I walk around in, I don't really own it. The body that you're inhabiting, if you're a person who belongs to Jesus Christ, your body doesn't belong to you. And we normally don't think like that, right? Like, you know, nobody can tell me what to do with my body. My body, my choice, the world says. Well, years ago, when I had an accounting business, I leased a car through the business. Leasing a car means, you know, if I dent it, if I spill a bunch of junk in it, if I trash the car, I know I'm going to have to stand in front of a person at the dealership. I'm going to have to answer for how I treated their car. That was always in the back of my mind. It wasn't my car. It was their car. So I probably treated it more carefully because I didn't own it. Now, can you imagine if you really looked at your body like it's God's and thought, I'm just leasing it from God. I'm going to stand in front of him one day and I'm going to be accountable for how I treated it. I wonder if that might affect what you eat today, if you exercise today. I wonder if knowing that it's God's body would affect what you drink, smoke, or whatever you do with your body. I think it might affect it a lot. I believe it would. But it's even more than that. Even more than God cares about it because he's paid for it at the cross. But the word also says that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Did you know that anytime the Bible uses the word temple, it's talking about the physical place where the presence of God dwells? Wow, right? I mean, this body, our bodies are where the physical place where God dwells now. So do you remember the first time in the Gospels when Jesus was angry? Do you remember what the context was? Well, he'd walked into the temple in Jerusalem and people were gouging the prices on the sacrificial animals to make a big profit off the worshipers. And they were exchanging money at a high exchange rate. It was a chaotic scene. And Jesus came in and became so angry. He said, "My Father's house shouldn't be treated like this." And he started flipping over tables and chasing people out. Jesus showed the angry side of him. Does anybody see where I'm going with this? So the Bible says that now there is no temple in Jerusalem. Now God says we are the temple. Us collectively is the body of Christ, the church. And we as individuals are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we must honor it. So let's say today after church, you go to an all-you-can-eat place, a buffet, right? You filled up your plate once and enjoyed the food and you're totally satisfied. And yet it's all-you-can-eat. And there's this hypnotic pull that's pulling you towards the buffet again. You know, like the world might be plunged into famine tomorrow or something, right? You never know, right? You just need to stock up. So you get up and go back for the second helping. And as you do that, because you're in church here today or listening to this message, you're going to regret this. You're going to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Don't do it. This is my body that I dwell in." And you're about to go jack up your blood pressure and blood sugar. And you're about to go give yourself twice or three times as many calories as you need for today and get even more out of shape. Don't do it. Turn around, go back to your table, put down the plate, and no one will get hurt, right? And just sit at the table. You're going to listen to that voice because maybe you heard it today. You heard this today. You were here. And you're going to just chat with the people at your table and sip a coffee, drink, or your drink of choice. And this applies to anything we do with our bodies that does not honor God. If you make a habit of recognizing the voice of Jesus as his disciple, the same Jesus who dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, you're going to begin to honor God with your body. So honor God with his body that he bought and that he lives in, and it will become a part of your lifestyle. So the first reason to take care of yourself is God's in on this with you. He cares. And here's the second reason. Because freedom calls. Freedom calls. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Let's go back to verse 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So there's a lot of things in life that you are allowed to do morally, legally. You can do them, but they tend to master us. We tend to become addicted. So while you're free to do it, by doing it, it's going to wind up taking away the very freedom that you're so excited about. You know, sometimes I may be too transparent, if that is such a thing, but the person I spend the most time with is myself, right? And I found that that time generates many illustrations. For example, two of my favorite activities are eating and watching sports. And when I get to do those things at the same time, that's a great experience. So there were a couple of good NFL football games last Sunday, and I just imagine I'm sitting in my living room watching the games, and I imagine that I'm enjoying some chips and dip. You know, okay, I could have had the veggie tray, but come on, what fun is that, right? I'm watching the game, and I'm really into it, and I'm into the food, and I'm free to do that. And yet, the more I do that, and in fact, if I do the same thing with some wings and blue cheese, you know, as I watch the second game on that day, I'm going to be forming chains that enslave me. It's going to be harder and harder if I do that again next weekend, and so on. You get the picture, right? You know, I'm not getting any exercise, and I'm consuming not only too many calories, but the wrong kind of food for my health. If I get into the habit of doing those things, I will become a slave to those habits, and I won't be a free person to do much else. I'm still free to eat more chips and sit in front of the TV, but I've hindered anything else that I want to do in life. On the other hand, if I resist my craving to stay on the couch and eat those chips and dip, and I go out for a walk or pick up some weights, here's what happens. It leads to freedom. So denying myself the freedom to sit on the couch and eat chips and dip and going out for a walk and maybe even watching the game on my phone while I'm walking, it makes me freer because I've got more energy for life. I've got more creativity and freshness. I'm free to live life better. I'm free to live life better because I chose to limit my freedom when it comes to sitting on the couch and eating chips and dip. Are you with me? I hope so. You know, if you're tired of being a slave, you know, some of you feel trapped because of the habits you developed over the years. God wants to free you from those habits. Whether it's being able to say no to excessive food, excessive alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it is, God wants you to live in freedom. So freedom awaits when we take better care of our bodies. And here's one more reason. Service awaits. Service awaits. Whenever you talk about freedom, you're always free from something, right? But you're also free to do something else. You're free from that thing that used to enslave you, but now you're also free to do the things that you couldn't do before. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Because of everything God's done for me, you know, his mercy, right? Offer your bodies. And isn't it interesting? It doesn't say your spirit, your soul, but your bodies. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable or pleasing to God. So offer your body to be used by God. By taking care of yourself physically, you'll be better positioned, more available to be used by God. And you pray, God, use me, send me. What do you want me to do? I'm ready to go. Let me illustrate this with two kinds of historic Christian leaders. First, there was a man named Robert Murray McShane, and he was a Scottish preacher back in the 1800s. He was a phenomenal preacher, passionate for the Lord, and he worked so hard that he burned himself out, and he died at age 29. Shortly before he died, he knew he was about to die, and he wrote these now famous words. He said, God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. Alas, I have killed the horse. And now I cannot deliver the message. Of course, he's talking about his body being the horse. He can no longer do this thing that he loved to do that God called him to do because he just ruined himself physically. On the positive other side, if you will, one of my favorites, Jim Elliot, was a missionary to remote indigenous groups in Ecuador in the 1950s. But before that, he was a college wrestler at Wheaton College. And here's what he said about his wrestling. I wrestle solely for the strength and coordination of muscle tone that the body receives while working out, with the ultimate end of presenting a more useful body as a living sacrifice. Isn't that an awesome perspective? To view your training, your physical fitness like that? So whatever God has called you to do, whatever people God has called you to love, whatever ministry God has called you to take part in, you will do those things better and longer when you take care of your body. Simple as that. So our culture says, yes, take care of your body, but do it so that you will look great and you'll feel great. That's the reason the world gives us. But God gives us much more compelling reasons, because God cares about your body, because God is in it, it's God's temple, because freedom is calling you when you treat your body well, and because meaningful service awaits. Well, let me ask the most practical question, and that is, how do we do this? Is this just a willpower thing where you just psych yourself up and go, okay, I believe that, I'm going to do it? No, maybe for a while, but studies show repeatedly that willpower runs its course. It doesn't tend to take you far. We need something more than willpower, and that something is worship. We just heard it in Romans. This is your spiritual worship to offer your body. Let me give you one more biblical image of this in the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the people on behalf of God. He's challenging them for the way they're worshiping idols, false gods, instead of the true God. And look at what he says, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So this is the image that God is giving. He's saying, if you worship and serve me, it's going to be like your spirit is drinking from a cold, fresh, bubbling stream of water. It's going to be so refreshing to your soul. So just worship me. But he says, instead, my people have turned away from me. They're worshiping these fake gods, which is like drinking from a cistern instead. Now, a cistern is not even a well that has a fresh water source. It's just basically a hole in the ground that you dig to catch rainwater. It's muddy, it's gross, and it's a terrible place to get a drink. So he says, worshiping false gods is like drinking mud, right? So this afternoon, when you load up on that big bowl of chips and dip and you go and sit on the couch, you're going to look at that and you're going to say, this is like drinking from a mud puddle. I can't believe this is going to satisfy me. And you're going to put it down. You're going to put the chips back in the bag or throw it in the garbage. And you're going to go out and you're going to do a 45-minute walk with the dog or with family members. Now, I know that's extreme, but here's the point. When you do that or something like that, it will be an act of worship because you're taking God at his word. You're saying, Lord, I believe that you can fill me more than any junk food or sinful act could possibly fill me. I believe that, God. And I'm trusting that you're not just saying words, that you're going to satisfy my soul like fresh water as I choose to honor you with my body, and that's worship. So as a worshiping person, what is it going to mean for you in a practical way to honor God with your body? Well, maybe it means you start a regular exercise program or buy fresh fruit, veggies, and meat at the farmer's market. Or maybe it means you get adequate, consistent sleep. Or make the choice to not partake in sinful acts with your body. What would it mean for you to honor this body that God says I care about? It means you take care of it. Now, some of us have been dishonoring our bodies, and it's time to make some changes. Not so you'll look and feel better than anybody else, but because you love God and you want to honor him, and you want to serve him for as long as possible. So take care of your body, but don't worship it. Honor God with your body. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Pray with me, please. Lord God, Father God, Abba, thank you for our time together and for who you are. I want to pray for three kinds of people today. The first kind of person has been paying too much attention to their body. They're too focused on the outside, and they need to repent of that. Then, Father, I want to pray for the second kind of person, that person who's not paying enough attention to their body. They're neglecting it. They must focus on honoring you with their body. Third person hears all this talk about God's temple, Father, and they just have no idea what we're talking about. because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For those people, Father, they need to open their hearts and receive Jesus Christ, because that will change everything, including the way they treat their bodies. Father, this is an opportunity in the midst of a world that's crazy around us to enter in to a relationship that's going to begin to change everything today and for eternity. So Lord, help us to not be so fixated on our appearance. Help us to pay attention to our health better. Lord, what an awesome thing to think that our bodies are temples, that dwelling places for your spirit. Lord, what dignity and honor that gives us. Help us to take good care of the bodies you've given us. And Father, bless us with the Holy Spirit's self-control to do that. Bless us through your presence in our lives. And help us now, Lord God, to honor you with these bodies you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining me. And we all pray for you this week. And we just hope that you received some encouragement today. And that if, again, I care for you deeply. If you've made it this far, thank you, and I appreciate you. And if you need anything, please reach out to me at the church. And even if it's just for prayer, please get a hold of me, and have a great week, and God bless.